Hey everybody, welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared, and with me is Dan. Hey Dan.
Hi Jared.
This is a podcast, right? Yes. This is a podcast.
I'm pretty sure.
where we review independent films.
Wow.
I know.
Are you an independent film? Do you want to be reviewed? Well, submit yourself to our inbox.
That's right. I hear the music now. It's like, dun, 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 dun. Are you an independent film? Submit yourself to our will. And today we watched The Art of Self-Defense.
The 2019. Art of Self-Defense.
The Art of Self-Defense. I don't know why it makes me think of that Beatles song, but it does. and this is starring Jesse Eisenberg.
And Imogen Poots.
Imogen Poots.
Imogen Poots.
Oh, yeah. Have we heard of her before? I think I've seen her in other things.
We make fun of her name because it's the funniest name in the world.
She's good in this, though. But yeah, she just got a fun name.
Imogen Poots.
Pretty good. That's, I wish.
Sorry, Imogen. Your first name is beautiful, but yeah. Poots. I mean, I'm almost positive that because you're an actress, you can be part of SAG. And you get to choose what name you want.
Is it Imogen? Imogen?
It's Imogen, I believe.
Imogen? That's a cool first name, but yeah, Poots is, it's rough.
Poots needs to get out.
So anywho, the guy who made this film is Riley Stearns, and I don't know much about him, but I just looked up his discography, and he's the guy who did Faults. Have you ever seen Faults?
Yeah, we
2014?
Watched Faults before.
Yeah, maybe for the old podcast, I forget. But really good movie about cult leaders and stuff like that. And this guy trying to convert.
Because I'm almost positive that in the film that Jesse Eisenberg's character is watching in the movie, it's an old horror film, I think. And the guy who stars in Faults, I forgot that guy's name, but he's in that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I like that actor
own,
too.
They made their own fake old horror movie for the,
mm-hmm.
that. I guess.
Yeah, that was cool. So, boy, I'm excited to talk about this film.
I am relatively excited to talk about this as relatively.
Temper your expectations, everyone. It's going to be a pretty okay ride. Not really that bumpy at all. So, Dan, could you give us a synopsis in 30 seconds? Some kind of an elevator like pitch.
Okay.
Of The Art of Self-Defense.
Basically, there's this guy named Casey. Casey something or other.
Dempsey. Casey Kasem.
Anyway. He lives by himself with his dachshund, and he's a boring accountant, and nobody likes him. And one night, he's mugged, and he decides to take matters into his own hands to protect himself. And he goes through the regular motions, like, I don't know what to do, and he finally decides on this hole-in-the-wall karate dojo. And he just starts practicing and getting to know the sensei of the dojo. And the sensei, the more you get to know the sensei, the more insane things start to happen.
Mm-hmm. Things get really dark. I even get the vibes of like culty, mm-hmm. kind of weird, creepy stuff like that.
What I found fascinating about this film, and this is going to make more sense as we get into it, but I've always wanted to know what type of people are that run dojos. And
yeah.
This has always been in the back of my mind. Like, I think
you were going to say something about
sensei's
like
do this
cults.
All the time.
Because this guy is a textbook person who would get sucked into like a weird cult type of scenario. Who's just like very outcast and looking for any type of meaning in his life. And like, this dude is the perfect dude that could, like, just take over and mold him into whatever he wants. So, questions. Dan, I think you already know the question I'm going to ask, because I ask it almost every episode when there is a comedy.
Did I laugh at this movie?
Film. Yes. Is this movie funny to you?
There were certain scenes that were very funny. But let me just start reviewing it now.
Sure.
This film, the first 30 minutes were left on the shelf a little bit too long and they became stale.
Okay.
It took forever for me to get into this film. It was not a good start. Very rough, very bumpy, very bristly. Like I had to chew and chew and chew and chew. And then finally I got to some parts that were making me laugh and the story became engaging. So, yes, it is funny, and it did achieve dark comedy, but it took way too long to get there.
Okay. I think this was one of the better dark comedies I've seen in a long time. maybe since World's Best Dad, I think, is probably like one the last really funny dark comedies that I had seen. I'm sure I'm forgetting some more recently that I've seen, but that's the one that comes to mind. I thought this movie was really funny. I really enjoyed it. I didn't have an issue with any of the beginning stuff. But ask me a question, Dan.
Okay. Did you at all ever think that he was hallucinating?
No, that never crossed my mind that he might be hallucinating some of this stuff. The way that people speak in this film
is
very strange, but it's all intentionally so. It's like you take a Wes Anderson script and make it way darker and actually kind of a little dumber.
Yeah.
And I mean that as a compliment, because all the characters like to over-explain everything that they're doing or whatever they're saying.
And, but
what was that dumb zombie movie that we watched that we hated?
The Dead Don't Die.
So it's like, what if the dead don't die, but it's funny?
Well, here's the other thing.
So it's that type of dialogue, but way actually good. Go ahead.
The dialogue being strange and awkward and just not evenly paced works, but only for one character. The sensei, the guy who, like, it was perfect for him to over-explain things because it made him seem more wise, but he wasn't.
Yes.
That's why I like that character so much, because he phrases things and carries himself like he's this wise sensei who's teaching you things, but all he's really doing is just explaining things before he gets to his punchline.
It is so funny, and like the karate quotes that they do in this film is out of control.
Oh, yeah.
It, like
the karate that like
none of it is karate.
Novice does.
It's
immediately joins, gets yellow belt, and then proceeds to destroy everybody. It's like, what the fuck?
So
questions that matter, Jared?
Yes.
You have a question for me? Because I have one for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Are you tired of seeing the same character played by Jesse Eisenberg over and over and over again?
He does it so well, though. It's like, that's like his thing that he does. He's like, you need that weird, awkward guy, you get yourself a little Eisenberg. Or you get the other dude.
Michael
that's
Cena.
Like him too. Yeah, you get the Michael Cera. Michael Cena.
Michael Cena.
But you know what I mean.
Now I just want to take, I just want to Photoshop Michael or John Cena's face on Michael Cera and Michael Cera's face on John Cena. Call it Michael Cena.
I'll give you one more question,
please,
Dan.
Please do.
How did you, were you able to judge the acting? Because it's like the acting is intentionally strange and the line delivery is intentionally strange. How did you feel about the performances from these characters?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of used to seeing Michael, Cera, Eisenberg, Jesse act that way. And Mogan Poots was actually the most realistic character. It just, the charisma of that, what is that actor's name?
Sensei? Let's see. Alessandro Nivola.
Nivola. The charisma that he smoldered on screen, it did not matter how awkward his phrasing was, because I just wanted to keep listening to him, even though he's a fucking piece of shit.
Well, that's the whole point, and that's how cult leaders are. They're very persuasive, normally. And so I had a few issues with the plot of this film. I feel like there's some escalations that happen that don't quite make sense. But as a film, watching and enjoying it, I really liked it. I thought it was so funny, so silly. And like I could put away those weird things I had. The only reason I'm going to bring them up now while we talk about this film is because that's literally what this podcast is about. Otherwise, I would have just completely ignored them. But it's a strange film.
Yes.
And the dialogue, I'm stressing this, is so bizarre. They like to over-explain things.
I also don't think that... I feel like the film is titled inappropriately. Mm-hmm. I feel like they could have titled it something else.
Like?
I don't know, but The Art of Self-Defense does not necessarily fit the theme. My expectations.
Well, what is the theme? Let's get into that, then. What do you think this movie is trying to say? Because I feel like it is.
Well,
I can give you my theory.
What do you think the Art of Self-Defense means?
Well, in terms of that title, it's protecting yourself. So karate is supposed to be about, from what I understand, I mean, this is a layman's understanding of karate. You're not supposed to go out and hurt people with karate. That's like one of the most important things about karate. It is literally supposed to be for self-defense.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't say, I don't know, go roaming around looking for people to just beat the shit out of them because you know karate. It's to enhance your life. It's about community. It's about discipline. It's supposed to help you in those aspects. And you're only supposed to use karate when you have to, when you are forced to use it. And in this film, it is totally the opposite of it. It's the warped version of what somebody could take karate and defile it, really, and use it for their own personal gain. So a lot of this film, I think, is about masculinity. And
well, that was my big point. That's where I was going with it. It's definitely...
How bad that can get if you take that to an extreme, like extreme masculinity, to the point of, like, I am the alpha, I'm the most important person, no one else matters, nothing else matters. I'm going to treat everyone like shit. And you basically become an asshole, or like a psychopath,
well,
like Sensei.
The film... Yeah, right. So masculinity is a huge theme in the film because you have this extremely effeminate person who is... You know, mugged and he's traumatized. I guess we're getting into spoilers now.
Yes. Okay. So this is spoilers. If you'd like to see the film, I saw it on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
I highly recommend this film. Go watch it. If you like really dark comedies, this movie is dark, dark. Like, there were moments in this film where I gasped. I'm like, because of the intense shit. Because you have this funny haha moments, and then you have just like animal cruelty, you know, and like fucked up shit. You're like, God. So spoilers. Okay. Spoilers. Okay. Go ahead, Dan.
So masculinity is a big issue in it. And it's paired with Michael Eisenberg, Jesse Eisenberg's character, Casey, who is very effeminate, very weak, very, you know, your stereotypical office schmuck who goes home and lives a single life and can't get probably doesn't try to get a girl, just lives every day because it's normal for him to do so.
He photocopies a nudie mag that he found at work and jerks off to it at his house.
Yes.
That's all you need to
know.
That's all you need to know about the main character.
But then they also bring in Imogen Poots's character, who is a woman at this dojo, and she's trying to be... she's trying to be the best pupil at the dojo. She's trying to attain black belt, but because the sensei has this stranglehold over masculinity and what is his own, you know, ideas in terms of social standing, he's not letting the woman get it because that's going against his code.
Yeah, he frequently says, oh, her hands are weaker because she's a woman, or she'll never become a black belt because she is a woman, and this is a man's sport. And he'll go on and on about shit like that, even though she is clearly the best fighter there, and she proves that.
But then again, you have to go by, let's look at this holistically. At that point in the movie where we are thinking that she's about to get her black belt and she doesn't, we don't know that the sensei is a fucking psychopath.
Yes, I was getting those vibes.
Well, like, I know I was getting psychopathic vibes
with this,
but yeah, you know, by the end of the movie, whenever we're full blown into psychopathic territory, that I don't know. It's not that it doesn't make sense, but it feels like it's underhanded. Like, it takes away mm-hmm. from the message of letting women, you know, rise through the ranks in discipline. Because the whole plot line is Sensei blackmails everybody. Basically, they go around, like, killing people at night or beating people up.
Yeah.
And Sensei films it and blackmails them to stay and, retain the fees that they're paying every month and whatnot.
Did you catch the motorcycle big twist? Like, I didn't guess that at all.
Yeah,
I didn't even think of it. So like, you knew what was going on before they revealed it?
As soon as I saw the red helmet, I'm like, oh shit, she's the one that fucking punched him in the face.
Yeah, man, holy shit. So was it the girl that beat him up?
She beat him up, and then the other guy tried to kill him, according to that tape. Wow.
What happened was, Jesse Eisenberg...
At the beginning of the movie.
He gets beat up by a motorcycle gang that's been riding around beating people up. And apparently, by the end of the film, you find out that that is the karate school. They are going around, part of their night classes. They're beating people up intentionally, maybe killing them. And then if they don't kill them, then those people they're hoping will come to karate class to learn self-defense, which is... So it's all to help this guy's business. And then he blackmails them with videotapes of them beating other people up to keep them paying their fees even after they leave the dojo, which is, oh my gosh. So every single little weird ideology that the instructor has, it's all just to make money. It always boils down to sex and money. And I'm kind of surprised they didn't get into more of the sex aspect of it, because I got some heavy, like, dude-on-dude action type of stuff, especially in the night classes.
Yeah.
Where they
the guy, like,
they warm up at the end.
Cool down.
They all get completely naked and start. Yeah, the cool down.
No, they
session,
don't all.
Get, all completely
most
naked.
Of them were in boxers, but one guy goes straight to his fucking pee-pee. Yeah. I'm like, goddamn.
And they're like massaging each other and shit. And I'm just like, is the instructor gonna try? Instructor trying to have sex with?
I feel
Jesse
like
Eisenberg, and I'm like,
it comes to that, back to that masculinity thing where it's like, yeah, enough of the masculinity blurs the line of homoeroticism, basically. Mm-hmm. And because at one point we learn that, Jesse Eisenberg's character confronts him and he's like, I learned your name is Leslie. That's a lot more mm-hmm. feminine than my name. So like you can tell that this guy is harboring some skeletons in his closet.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably like the main character at one point, and then just like so hard
pivoted. But also, you kind of brought up the fact that he might
that.
Be gay.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because he says some stuff. He really alludes to he thinks men are just better in every single way, even in sex, like a sexual thing. He talks about that. And I'm like, is this guy gonna straight up say like, and he's like, the only reason you should have a woman around is for procreation or whatever, and it's like, and men, it's purely for pleasure, and I'm thinking like, oh, he's gonna try to fuck Jesse Eisenberg. Right now. He's like, and when two men have sex for pleasure, it's not weird, and I think they should have went there. I felt like there was something left on the table. And they cut it out maybe because they thought it was too much. But I say go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it would have made it
crazy
or interesting. Well, I mean, the film is mm-hmm. already interesting enough once you get into it, but that would have made it more analytically interesting. Something
yeah,
that I can.
I mean,
sink
it
my
doesn't
teeth
need
into.
It. I guess. I guess it doesn't really need it. But I thought it was an interesting angle, at least to play around with in my head as I watched this film, like, there might be something else going on.
And then the other
here.
Thing was, I feel like we constantly cut to him talking about the grandmaster of the dojo.
Mm-hmm. And the grandmaster Funk. Yeah.
Grandmaster of the dojo is, he wears a belt of all the belt colors. And
he
calls it the rainbow belt.
And he has a samurai sword.
I want to say that this guy is completely, like, he just found a picture of this guy and just is bullshitting his way through everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This guy doesn't exist. Cause I don't need, but it's, what's so weird is that Sensei takes it so seriously though. Like he'll go and bow to it. Remember when they do the montage of him cleaning the dojo mm-hmm. and how much it looks like he cares about the dojo yeah. and everything. So it's like, he's still very sincere about what he's doing. But also, so like he believes his own bullshit, which is like what happens to a cult leader over time. At first, it's like, hey, I'm trying to make money. I'm trying to scam these people. And then you're like, actually, hey, it's been 10 years. I think I am God. And I think I do have complete control over all these people. So you start getting high on your own supply, pretty much, I think, is what's going on there. Let's talk about certain scenes.
Okay.
That we liked.
So my favorite scene in the film is, well, let me preface it by saying Sensei takes a liking to Jesse Eisenberg because unbeknownst to us at the time, Sensei is the one that even put Eisenberg into the dojo in the first place. And
mm-hmm.
Jesse Eisenberg starts is like, I want to live this discipline every day of my life. And then he's like, what's your favorite kind of music? And he's like, well, alternative adult. And he's like, no, it's metal. You gotta listen. He basically changes his whole life around in order to mm-hmm. live this masculine fantasy that he's trying to achieve. And Jesse Eisenberg does that. And Night Class is where you go to Night Class. You have to be invited especially to Night Class and you just beat the shit out of each other. It's very violent sparring. And the very first scene of Night Class, they put on metal. And they filmed the whole thing in slow motion, and it was fucking awesome.
It was fantastic.
I even watched it twice. I loved every minute of it.
How about that very first scene in Night Class when that one guy shows up and he's not supposed to be there?
Oh, yeah.
And he starts talking about how the elbow... Yeah. He's like, the elbow is strong because it only needs to bend one way. If it would bend both ways, it wouldn't be as strong. It was like just dumb shit like that. He breaks this guy's arm, and that is the turning point in the film of like, oh no, shit is really getting real. What has Mr. Eisenberg got himself
into? What has Mr. Eisenberg got himself into?
Do you feel like Imogen Poots's character, Imogen Poots, do you feel like she is sympathetic? Or do you think she is just as twisted as Sensei?
I got sympathetic vibes. He looks like she is mentally drained throughout mm-hmm. the entire thing. She's looking out for Eisenberg's character, trying to get him to leave.
It's so weird because it's like, are the rest of the people who are in karate in this dojo, are they there because they want to be there? Or are they there because they're being blackmailed by this guy?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's a little bit of both.
It's so strange. Because
at least with Imogen Poots' character, you can tell she's very damaged. Like, there's skeletons in her closet big time, and she is using this as a way to channel that catharsis that living with her whole life.
Yeah.
So,
you know what I liked? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so she doesn't necessarily like the fact that she's doing illegal things, but it's helping her get through whatever she needs to get through.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a whole thing where she talks about how there used to be one locker room, and that changed because one of the higher-up belts tried to rape her in that fucking locker room, and she killed that guy. And then, so then they let her change in the boiler room. And she got blamed for it, too, because she was tempting the other male fighters, which was just ridiculous. And then there's a great line by Eisenberg. He's like, well, I mean, that's not your fault. And she's like, I know. And it's just the world that they have to live in. It's this weird masculine thing that they have to deal with of just like, well, I mean, that's I'm stuck here. I'm trying to get through here, like through this day by day.
There's this scene at the beginning where he is getting water out of his fridge at work or whatever, and there's like three guys gossiping in the toy lounge.
Holy shit, yes. And you have to talk about this.
They're just bitching about the boss, basically. Man, mm-hmm. I wish I could kill him and blah, 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 blah. And Jesse Eisenberg character at first, he's like, well, actually, he's a pretty nice guy. I went to his house for his party. His wife just had a kid, actually. And they're like, who are you? He's like, I'm Casey. He's like, where do you work? In accounting. So you audit us. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, the guy's like, get the fuck out of here. So later on, once he's all manned up or whatever, and he's a complete piece of shit, he's at work. He's looking at a picture of tits on his laptop. He's listening to metal music. His boss shows up. He's like, hey.
Oh, wait, let's preface this too. He hasn't gone into work for 2 months.
Yes, and his boss has been covering for him and paying for him, you know, like the expenses of him not being there. So, and his boss is like his only real friend, his actual real friend. And his boss shows up. He's like, hey, man, listen, like, I know you've been having a rough time when you got beat up and everything in your recovery, but you really need to, like, get back to work. Like, you haven't been doing any work. And he stands up and punches him in the throat.
Which is what I thought was an hallucination at first. I'm like, there's no fucking way
Holy shit. And then he goes into the break room with the three guys and is like, I just punched our boss in the throat. And he starts telling them to shut up and he's being mean to him. He's like, and the two guys are like, hey, do you want to, like, hang out with us? He's like, yeah. He's like, but there's only three chairs. He's like, I'll sit in your chair. And the guy gets up. And he sits in his chair and he's drinking his coffee. He's like, let's do push-ups. It's the antithesis of what this movie is about. Yeah. It's so blatant in what it is making fun of.
But then there's also...
I love it.
End scene where basically Eisenberg shows up to challenge Sensei to a duel.
This scene is so good. I loved every moment of this.
And you start with Sensei. He's cleaning up the dojo, and he's just cleaning up the dojo. He's like washing.
Yeah, he's
the
doing his routine or whatever. Yeah,
and he's meditating in front of the picture of Grandmaster up on the wall. And Jesse Eisenberg comes behind him, and he's like, "I'm here to challenge you to hand to hand combat to the death, unarmed combat to the death."
Yeah, yeah,
and Sensei's like, all right, I'm going to kill you. Like,
well, first he says, he's like, I can make you a black belt. He tries to bribe him, tries to bribe him. And then he says, if we fight, I'm better than you and I will kill you. He's like, that's fine. Let's do it. So I love how he tries to bribe him beforehand because he finds out his real name. Yeah. And he finds the incinerator in his back room where he gets rid of fucking bodies because he's a serial killer. And then he finds all the tapes, too. God, this guy's out of control. So they have this amazing scene of them getting ready to fight. And then right when they're like, they bow, he just pulls out a gun and shoots him right in the head. And I was like, this is the best. Yeah. If the movie would have ended right there, I would have got up and started clapping. I'm like, this is perfect.
I probably would have liked the film a lot better if it did end there. Like, just straight shot, boom, black. That would have been a really cool ending. Yeah. But they have to fucking go on and ruin the goddamn ending, Jared!
Yeah, they wanted to try to wrap it up where he pretends that he had actually defeated Sensei by, like, poking his finger through his head.
Sensei made this shit up. Like, Grandmaster killed all three of the rival dojo leaders using this one secret move that only he knows how to do, and that is pokes his finger through your head.
Yeah.
And so...
And somehow Jesse Eisenberg knows it now.
Yeah, but he puts his fucking head, his finger in the gun hole. That's gross. Ugh.
Oh. Yeah, he's got blood all over it. So he tricks everyone into thinking that he actually defeated Sensei and that he's the new Sensei. And they all are like, okay, sure. And then he promotes Imogene to black belt and she becomes the new dojo leader. And then he gets relegated to teaching the kids class.
Yes.
And so I thought that all of that made sense and was great. I don't know. I don't know if we needed to see all that. I feel like I would have been better if it was more, had more ambiguity because a lot of murders happened and you would think police would start to investigate. Like,
well,
the last guy
that was killed was an undercover police officer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, almost no police in this movie, but that's not really the point of it, you know? I still think the ending does not ruin the film at all. I really enjoyed this movie. Let's do final thoughts right now.
Okay.
How do you feel, Dan?
Well, I have to say I'm going to be able to recommend this movie for sure. Like, it was an enjoyable watch, but I did not get the enjoyment until later on, and I feel like...
Making... Da, 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 da. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think that's
no,
it.
No, I totally get that.
I feel like making love.
Dan, I totally understand that. I definitely didn't have that issue, but I see how, like, this movie can be maybe off-putting.
Right, maybe I just wasn't expecting the awkward nature of the film. Even though I like awkward movies and awkward humor, just there wasn't a lot of awkward humor in it. It's just more like just this strange... Let's intentionally skip beats during our acting.
Yes. Intentionally skipping beats, intentionally over-explaining what characters are doing.
But that was fun with the sensei. Sensei needed to do that. Yeah. He was wonderful.
Yeah. And it's like stupid dialogue done smart.
Yes.
That's the best
way I can describe it. Exactly.
I really liked it. I really liked it. Excellent camera work. I thought the acting was great for how weird these characters were. I mean, everything was superb about it. I mean, this is a higher budget film, by the way, as well, I would assume. I let me see if I can find the budget. I mean, the film made over $2 million. I'm assuming it made its budget back. I mean, I doubt it was any higher than that. Hopefully it did. But this movie was great. I loved it. Go see it. I absolutely recommend it. I think it's time for plugs.
I think plugs. You might plugs. Be correct. Are you ready for plugs?
Plugs. Plugs.
Here we go.
I'm ready for plugs. Plugs. Plugs.
You may find us at Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Facebook, Indie Film Review. We're big marquee letters. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Give us your movies. Give us your nudes. Give us your...
That was great. Give us your tired, your hungry, your nudes.
Send them, please.
That's right.
Jared, can you tell me about...
Sure. So the Necropodicon is a place where people can go when they're like, hey, I want podcasts, but I don't know where they are. Oh, they're here at the Necropodicon Network. You can go there. They have a lot of good D&D podcasts. They have movie review podcasts like ours. They have... just fun, strange podcasts you're not going to find anywhere else. There's a podcast about villains and villain, like being evil and what that's all about, which is really fun. And you got podcasts about where they read fan fiction. You got, there's so many different fun podcasts on there. Check them out. One of the newest ones we got was Sons of the Fathers, made by the creator of Necropodicon. And, it's really good. I like it a lot. It is a Call of Cthulhu D&D type of game set in like a future where like aliens have invaded. Oh, it's fun. I love it. I love those types of games because characters die way quicker than like a regular D&D game. And a very solid story. They have really good voice actors too. Oh, it's great. Special effects. Sound effects, guys. Like Zoig saying,
sound effects.
Really good. way higher production than this fucking piece of shit. So check it out. It's great. If you go to necropodicon.com, there is a link to the Discord. And you can click on that and you can come talk to us. And there's like a great community there of us like
yeah, come talk
just
to
hanging
us, guys.
Out.
I want yeah. more people to come in and talk and say
yeah.
things.
Yeah. And use words to communicate. And it's just really fun over there. We're just like hanging out and chilling, you know? So we got all that. And I know I had one more thing I wanted to say. Oh, please tell other people about the show. And when you tell them, you're like, hey, you should look up the show. Tell them to look up the... No. Tell them to look up Indie Film Review Podcast. If you type that into Google, you'll find our show. Tell as many people as you can. Rate and review our show. We also like that a lot. But I think I'm more focused on telling people. If you do that... I will praise you. I will put you on a pedestal and I will think about you every day. Okay, thank you. Dan?
Yes?
I believe you have the final word.
Now let me tell you how to cast with your pod. Your pod music. That was what I...
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D, and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Isent is a podcast that has, wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them! Now go listen to The Fate of Isent because it's good, and you deserve good things. Fate of Isent. A proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.